This is the third shiur in the special El series in Chavis Halvavas for women, doing different cheshbainas from Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. This is the third in the series. It's Sunday, Tesvav Elul, August 30th, and we're doing today Cheshbon, the eighth Cheshbon. We spent the first two shiurim on the ninth Cheshbon because it was about Tfilah davening, and now we're doing the eighth Cheshbon, Sunday, Elul 15, August 30th. Okay, so we're in the third shiur of the series, and the first two shiurim went through Cheshbon number 8. Number 9. Normally I would not have done Cheshbon number 9. Why not? It's so important. Yes, it's very important. They're all important. That's the point of the Chavis Halvavos. We've learned it. And it's 30 really important things that a Jew has to think about, contemplate, mull over in his or her mind, and think about. That's the Chavis Halvavos' definition of Cheshbon HaNefesh, is to think. Not necessarily to make an accounting of your actions that day or that week, but to think about things, which nowadays is very hard for people. They get headaches, and they blame ADHD, and they say, where do I click? What do you mean you want me to think? I want to click. So, Cheshbon number 9, I wouldn't have learned out of the 30 in this series. Again, it's just that for some reason he chose to segue and talk about tefillah at such length. And that's why I did it. I didn't do it for the Cheshbon itself, number 9, which is to do mitzvahs to the best of your ability, not to just do it to get by, but to do it l'chatchila, not b'dieved. You know, you do it the way you would do something if you were asked to do something by a king, by someone you respect. You're going to do your utmost, your best. He talked about tefillah, and we went through tefillah, and it took two shiurim to have his yesodos of tefillah, and really very important what he says about tefillah. A few beautiful poetic phrases there even. This is the guf, that's the neshama, and the way he lists five accomplishments of tefillah. It's really very, very important. Today I want to do Cheshbon number 8. Cheshbon number 8 is... That's what I picked, Cheshbon number 8. Now, Cheshbon number 8, you would think, the words here are important. You would think it's a play on words. As I said, in some senses, these 30 things is almost a synopsis of the entire Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. He goes through many of his principles, many of his yesodos, and he touches upon them. Obviously, he can't elaborate on them, but he elaborates on things he talked about in Shaar HaBechina, and things he talked about in Shaar Yichud HaMaisa, and things he talked about in Shaar HaKaniyah, and things he talked about in Shaar Avos Hashem, and so on and so forth. So it's like it's a synopsis of the entire Sefer. In Shaar 8, he actually combines two Sha'arim, which have similar names, but you wouldn't think that they have any connection to each other. It's almost like a pun, a play on words. Why? The first Shaar is Shaar HaYichud. Shaar HaYichud is the oneness of Hashem. And there's a lot of philosophy in the first Shaar. Most people who learn Chovos HaLevavos skip the first Shaar. It's a philosophy that we're not familiar with, the reasoning, and it's Greek philosophy. It's all types of theories. And if Hashem is not eternal, then what came before Hashem, and those kinds of cheshbonos. And he talks about the oneness of Hashem, how all encompassing it is, that it's not just one and not two. It's that Hashem is unique, that Hashem is everything, and that nothing exists other than Hashem. Emes malkeinu efezuloso, as explained by the Mefarshim and the Siddur, that's from Aleinu, by the way, in case you're trying to quickly. Yeah, so it doesn't mean Ephesus, there's no other God other than Hashem, but there is nothing other than Hashem. Everything you see is Hashem's will. Everything you see is... Well, that's it, really. Everything you see is Hashem's will. It's a manifestation of His will. Hashem doesn't have any moving parts. This is already a deeper concept, that Hu Uritzono V'chachmoso echad. We are, I'm me, and then I have a storehouse of knowledge in my head. That's like two different things. But with Hashem, part of echad is that he's miksha achas. He's a unified whole. So everything Hashem knows or says or thinks or wills or creates, it's all Hashem. It's all Hashem that is manifested in this Bria. That's, you ever had it yet? That's Shara Yichud. We actually learned it. I learned it in a synopsis form in two shiurim way back when. There really is only two prakim that are heavy, heavy philosophy that we're not familiar with. The rest of the prakim there are really, really understandable. And I think people should learn it, because as he says, that's it. Like that's, but you can't start without that. You can't go on to Shar HaBechina, which is the second Shar, and say, wow, look at the world Hashem made. It's full of chesed, it's full of chochma, it's full of amazing tova that he bestowed. You have to really have clear in your mind and be convinced that Hashem Echad, everything is Hashem. There's nothing that's happenstance, there's nothing that's nature, there's nothing that, yeah, that's the way it is. Everything is Hashem's will. Hashem wills everything you see. So then you could start with Shar HaBechina. Wow, look at this amazing, look what nature does here. Look, not nature, it's Hashem's will. And look at this and look at that. That's the whole Shar HaBechina. That's Shar HaYichud, Hashem Echad. Then there's a Shar called Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Different Shar, different name. Yichud HaMaisa means singularity of purpose. That everything you do, Yichud HaMaisa, everything a person does should have only, should be singular, only one purpose. There should be only one purpose in everything we do, and that is to do the will of Hashem. What takes a whole shahr to say that? I don't know what takes a whole shahr to say Av Bitachon. It takes a whole shahr to explain it, to show how we don't do that. He says most people do most things because of what other people will say, or because of what they're afraid will happen if they don't do it, because they're afraid of the consequences. They don't. It takes a lot of avoda, and it transforms your whole life. If you would try it for 2 hours, you'll see that everything you do is just yichud hamaisa, singularity of purpose, totally focused. This is what Hashem wants me to do at this point in time. So, as I said, so the eighth cheshbon is, you have to think about these two yichuds. But at first glance, at least to me, it was, it's like a play on words, because this is Shara Yichud and that's Shara Yichud HaMaisa, but they don't really have any connection one to another. One is Hashem is Echad, and the other one is I have to do everything and be focused on Hashem's will and on nothing else. And you see from this cheshbon that he puts the two together, he explains them separately. He spends a few lines just talking about Yichud Hashem, and then he spends the rest of the cheshbon talking about Yichud HaMaisa. But if he puts them together, it means they're connected. They're both a Yichud. And the answer is that they're both Yichud Hashem. That they're two sides of a coin. Everything is Hashem, and everything I do is for Hashem. That is the Shleimus of Yichud. It's two sides of a coin. One is Hashem, and one is my avodas Hashem. They both have to be echad. They both have to be single, not split up into parts, not compartmentalized, nothing outside the box. There is nothing outside the box. There's only Hashem fills the whole box. In my life, the only thing that, again, this is ideal, so while this is an ideal, it's a sefer that discusses the ideal, the value of knowing the ideal. We've said this countless times. The value of knowing the ideal is knowing what to shoot for. The value of knowing the ideal is knowing what to work on. The value of knowing the ideal is that if you could do it once a week, that's marvelous, that's fantastic. If once a week I could daven, you know, the way he wants me to daven, once a week I think about how everything I see is Hashem. Once a week I make sure that for 2 hours, my actions, 1 hour, everything I do is because I'm ready to look in the mirror, so to speak, and say, this is what Hashem wants me to do. And there's no other reason. There's no neighbor, there's no friend, there's no spouse, unless Hashem wants you to do what your spouse wants. But everything has to ultimately be Hashem's will. Nothing else, you know. Now, Hashem's will is not as narrow as we would think. The morning, if you think through your life, whether it's parnosa in yonim, or the house in yonim, or social in yonim with friends, or anything, that's Hashem's will, that's okay. You know, no, nobody has to be doing anything that's, oh boy, you know, we're talking about Hashem Torah Mitzvahs, right? So yes, we are. We're talking about Hashem Torah Mitzvahs. And we're talking about a person getting up, going to work, taking care of the house, cooking, baking. To a man, I would say, filling up the car with gas, anything. Yes, this is what Hashem wants me to do. You know, and so that's okay. But then 25 things happen that day that if that would be your focus, as they say in Yiddish, zwischen mir und dir geret, which means between you and me and the lamppost. I'm not comfortable. I'm doing this to get my kid into a school. I'm doing this so that my kid should have friends. I'm doing it so I should have friends. We're not even talking about doing things bad. We're talking about doing good things. But not because Hashem wants it, but because I want to maintain my social standing. I want to maintain my ma'amad. For a rav, it's very difficult. You know, I want to knock off Shemona Esrei too, once in a while. But I can't. Not because Hashem doesn't want me to. How would it look? It's much harder. The more you're something, the harder it is. Your avod is harder to do it, to have yichud hamaisa. The more prominent, whatever the word, you know, the more people are looking at you, the more difficult it is to have yichud hamaisa. So you start excusing it. You say, well, Hashem wants me to act a certain way so that the people should have cover for their rav. You know, it's called a loophole you can drive a truck through. You can get away with a lot if you make that cheshbon. It's hard. It's really hard. So this is it. It's two sides of a coin. And that's why he discusses them both. So Hashmini cheshbon number 6 is cheshbon Adam and Nafsho. Pemeshi uchayev bo. An obligation. Miyichud libo lelokim yisbarach. Viyichud halev al shnei ponim. You have to, this is what I mean, he puts it together. You have to be miyached libo lelokim. You have to have a singularity of thought about Hashem in two ways. One is yichud halev v'yichud hakel, to realize that everything is Hashem. So everything you see, everything you experience, everything you undergo, every nisayon, every difficulty, every not difficulty, every geshmaka thing in life, everything, every blade of grass, every event, is Hashem's will. You missed the bus, you missed the stop sign, you missed the stoplight, you missed the Ramzor light. So the reason I changed is because that may be Bechira. To willingly go through a stop sign is Bechira, so that's a different philosophical. That might be something that we are told is indeed, that's already a difficult question. Is Bechira outside Hashem's purview? So, Begadol it's not, because he tells us, he constructed the world that we have Bechira. So, us having Bechira is Hashem's will. So, it's right there, Hashem's will. But can we do something that's not the will of Hashem because of the larger picture that he wants us to be able to do something that's not his will? So it turns out to be that's his will, that we have that ability. So that's heavy, and we're not going there. Yeah.
What the Rav said before about, you know, when you do something because you don't want it to look bad in front of other people.
Yeah.
But can you say...
I'm going to interrupt you, please forgive me, because we're going to learn it inside, and then you'll ask. He's going to talk about it. He's going to... About Yichud HaMaiseh. This is the Cheshbon. I just gave like an introduction. Okay. Let him explain. The real explanation is in Sha'ar Yichud HaMaiseh, where he spends 30 pages explaining it. Here, it's a relatively short paragraph, but let's learn it inside. So... He says the lave has to have two singularities in it, two aspects of yichud. That's really what it is, two aspects of yichud. You wouldn't think to put it together if not for this cheshbon. I don't think a person would connect Shar HaYichud to Shar Yichud HaMaisa other than to think, boy, that could be pretty confusing. These two Sha'arim have similar names. But here you see in this cheshbon, they are two sides of a coin. Yichud Halei b'Yichud Hakel, kasher biyarnu b'tchilas ha-sefer hazeh, shashar ha-yichud, meaning everything's Hashem, I'm aware of that, I believe that, I know it, I'm convinced of it, that everything is Hashem, Yichud Hakel, with all the ramifications of Yichud that he spends the whole Shar ha-yichud talking about, one, not two, unique, no moving parts, above time, above everything. Nothing escapes being Hashem, or Hashem's will, but Hashem's will is the same as Hashem. Ba'asheni, the other side of the coin, is Yichud HaLev, Be'eis She'yaseh Me'uma Me'maisa Olam Haba, Chova, O Rishus, Le'lokim Levado. In other words, really, this is focused on Bechira. So Bechira, you would say, okay, I just realized there's another way of looking at it, that puts the two things together, and that is the way he says it, that the other side of the coin is Hashem is one, but then there's my Bechira, so that's really sort of outside of Hashem's purview. So he's saying, yeah, but there's Yichud there also, because I have to do Hashem's will, what he wants me to choose. Bechira is only Tov and Ra, we've said many times. Bechira is not inconsequential things. If it's not Tov and Ra, it's a question of what flavor ice cream to buy or which vegetable to serve. If it's not Tov and Ra, if you're not choosing between seven layer cake and spinach, then it's Hashem is going to maneuver for reasons of his own. You know, we can't halt kop with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's not Tov and Ra, it's Hashem's will and he has his reasons. In the larger scheme of things, there's a big world out there with billions and billions and billions of billions of things going on. So that's really the second side of the coin of Yichud, is when it is Bechira. Sheyaseh Me'uma Me'maiseh Olam Haba Chova O Rishus Le'lokim Levado. You're doing it even when it's not technically a chova, but as he says in Shar Avodas Elokim, there really is no such thing as rishus, pure rishus. Because anything you do in your life either brings you closer to Hashem or moves you further away from Hashem. And if it falls under that category, then Bechira takes over. And you do have Bechira. And it's sort of not Hashem, even... This is heavy duty philosophy, but we're not going to go there. So it's like not Hashem, imagine. It's my Bechira. But I have to make it Hashem. That's what he's saying. That's really this is the first time I realized it. Thank you, everybody. There's a much sharper connection between Yichud and Yichud HaMaisa. Yichud HaMaisa addresses something that ostensibly Hashem is uninvolved in because it's my Bechira, and I have to make that Hashem also. And if making it Hashem is heavy duty, meaning not the neighbor, not the friend, no other motive. My only motivation is Hashem's will. So I really create, and I just realize this now, well, that I really create Shar HaYichud in my Maisa. Because I bring Hashem, this is Hashem's will, and I'm doing it only for that reason. So this event is only happening, this action is only happening, this decision not to do something is only happening, the not doing is happening because it's Hashem's will. So I sort of, I impose, because Hashem's will is the whole Bria, except for Bechira, I impose Hashem's will onto things that are Bechira. And the reason he says Rishus is because, as he says, Rishus just means technically it's not an obligation, but it's in that larger picture of, does this bring me closer to Hashem or move me further away from Hashem? I'm allowed to take a nap. It's Rishus. But is this nap just laziness and therefore it's taking me away from Hashem? Or is the nap something I need to relax? Or the vacation is something I need to relax? You say, can I take a vacation without getting a headache? And the answer is no. That's it. Ideally, no. Again, it's the ideal. I have to make sure that my vacation is Hashem's will. That's exactly his point. And if it sounds heavy, it is heavy. But again, it's an ideal, and if a person can't live like that, you have to build up to it. So if it takes 50, 60 years, so that'll take 50, 60 years. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no tinus to you if it takes time. But to know that that's a goal, and to understand the goal, Kasher biyarnu b'shar chamishi min ha-sefer hazeh, as we explained in the fifth shar, which is Shar Yichud HaMaaseh. U'mitznoi Yichud HaElokim, he goes back now and elaborates a drop, the Yichud Hashem, Shelo Yielo Elokim Zuloso, no other power in the world, not even Segulas, not even 1 plus 1 equals 2, not even gravity, not even time. It's very hard to conceive of time. Hashem was not bound by time. Hashem created time. We can't imagine there not being time. That's the way you're supposed to think of Hashem, that it's inconceivable that there's no Hashem in anything or anywhere. I always say, like, the closest thing we have to that we can grab onto is time, because, like, you can't close your eyes and conceive of no time, because you say, well, how could there be no time? Like, what happens next? And that's Hashem. The time is only a creation. And if you don't believe me, ask Albert Einstein. Time is only a creation. It's not objectively so. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know that Einstein has something to do with that. You want to understand it fully, you got to ask Jonathan Sasson. He understands it, but I don't. But I just know the words, that somehow that really showed that time is a bria. That really showed that time is not objective, that time is subjective, and it could change, and it could, you see that it is a creation. It's not something that just is. Only Hashem just is. That's the Rambam. In the beginning of the Rambam, he says, everything in the world has subjective existence. When you say, Hashem Elokeichem Emes, or Hashem Elokim Emes, taken from that pasuk, it means the only objective existence is Hashem. Everything else is just a creation. And that's everything. Time, gravity, math. Well, what's 1 and 1 going to be if not the 2? I actually don't know, but I do hope that I work on believing and understanding that Hashem created the world in that way, and he could have easily created a world where 1 and 1 is not 2, although the words are nonsensical to me. But that's because we're in this world. V'lo yachis olof tzura, Hashem has no form, v'lo tmuna, no image. You have to be careful when you daven, and you omed lefnei hamelech, and you... This is a question, you know, do you form an image of someone that looks a little like Santa Claus? You know, there's a guy sitting there with a white beard, and he's kind of jolly, you know, and he's the king. Santa Claus is not a king, but he's a king. I don't know, you form an image, and it's hard, you know, it helps, but that's not Hashem, that image. V'lo tchuna, Hashem has no emotions, has no tchunas hanefesh. He doesn't have any attitudes, any... V'lo tenua, no movement. Hashem just is. It's one big blob of is. V'lo hatoka, no change. You know what that means? It means any times it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, we do not understand what that means really. Because it's impossible for Hashem to be speaking to Moshe at one moment and not speaking to Moshe at the next moment. That's change. It's not heavy. Hashem has no change. So what do you mean Hashem spoke to Moshe? What does that mean at that point in time? I don't know. I mean, because Hashem is above time. So he's always speaking to Moshe at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so to speak. He's always doing that. But again, that's heavy. V'lo hatoka means no change. V'lo tor mitorei agufim. When we say Alkel hagodol hagibor v'anora, it's just a way of relating to him. It's not real. Hashem is not gibor. It just is a way of describing certain things Hashem does which are gevura. V'lo inyan minyoni ha'etzim v'amikra, nothing happens to Hashem. Even though, again, when you learn Chumash, Hashem is reacting to events, but those words are apikursus. If I would mean them, they're just, when we learn Chumash, that's what seems to be happening. Hashem is reacting to things that happen, but that's terrible. That's not Hashem. Hashem is like, not there. So what does it mean? I'm sorry, that's Yisroel Einstein, he's gonna explain it. The Yamin Shain Rashis Lakadmuso Hashem always was Lotachlum Tsuso. The Yeda Shu Echod Vain Echod Kahduso. If you say Yigdal, you might recognize this Echod Vien Yochit Kigifudo. Velo Boris Uloso, Velo Yotzer Mi Baladov, Ushor Shemosu Vatovum Midosov El Yonos. Hashem is not the best. It's not like, oh, other people could run and Hashem is the fastest. Okay. Now let's go on to what's. Even though when you say Hashem Echad, you're supposed to really understand the totality of the Echad. Most of us, I would venture to say, just think of, like, I have one pen in my pocket, not two, so there's one Hashem, not two. That's a very, very small part of Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means there's no change, he's not under time, there's no movement, there's no change, there's no emotion, there's no characteristics. It's just existence itself. Like, just, I mean, again, we think of it as an energy source. That's how we think of it. Hashem is not that either. But that's why they worship the sun. Because that was their best conception of Hashem. Because as we know nowadays, that the sun powers everything in the world. Everything. Time, the sun, because the sun is energy. And energy is movement, and movement is time. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I know that if you think about it, if you know this stuff, and if you know there's Jonathan Sasson, but if you know this stuff, you understand why they worship the sun. Because the sun is our closest thing that we have to Hashem. It empowers everything that happens in our world. Every movement, time, everything is the sun radiating energy and making it happen. And the sun is a tool of Hashem. Right? Well, Hashem created the sun. Hashem, does he work through the sun? I don't know. I'm not sure what words to use, so I won't use any. But that's, if you want to think about it, that's how you would think about it. And it's only relatively recently that we understand, like, the totality of the sun's energizing the universe, because it creates, it creates even time, because it creates movement, because it gives all the energy in the world comes from the sun. Now there's the other side of the coin, which Baruch Hashem, I realized today, thank you very much, it's things that are Bechira. Things that are Bechira, so they're Lechora outside this Hashem Echad Lechora. So he says that's also Hashem's there, because you have to make Hashem there. And anytime you have any ulterior motive whatsoever, and really, again, in the ideal sense, don't get scared, but in the ideal sense, even Olam Haba is an ulterior motive. I'm sorry. Again, it's an ideal, and it could take 50 years to work on it, and don't worry about it. Halavai, we would do things for Olam Haba's sake, because we want to be in Olam Haba. That would be fantastic. No one's going to Gehenna because they did things only to get Gan Eden. Trust me, I'll be there. I won't be in Gan Eden maybe, but I'll make sure you get in. But ideally, you do things only because it's Hashem's will. There's nothing else in the world. It's Hashem's will. Not even gonna... Our excuse is, as I said with the rabbi, our excuse is the reason all the Sfarim talk about getting all of Mabon and going to Gan Eden is because that is Hashem's will. You open a Masilas Yesharim and you learn, and Hashem wants us to go to Olam Haba, Hashem wants us to be in Gan Eden, Hashem wants us to be Nena Bisiv Hashchina. So that's our excuse. If someone catches you, you say, well, I just want it because Hashem wants it. Because He does. And that's the first parak in Masilas Yesharim. That Hashem wants us to have pleasure, the pleasure of being Nena Bisiv Hashchina, which is an unimaginable pleasure, and that's what He wants us to. But it's a subtlety, you know. I'm not doing it to have pleasure, really. I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will. You know, that's not so easy. That's hard. And it's ideal. You work on that. If you can do it to one thing a week that you do, and then you increase it to two things a week, and you work your way up to one thing a day, your mom is fantastic. You deserve a medal. This is an ongoing avoda. It's not like you're going to walk out of here and be able to do this. But you have to know what life is all about. So now, mitzanoi yichud halei b'maisei lakim shlo yichavin b'maasei wadol l'shmo ha-gadol. You're doing it for His sake, because He wants it. You don't even have to know why He wants it. It could be He wants you to know why He wants it. That's what learning is all about. Because Hashem is very kind to us. And He knows that He constructed a human being, that the human being likes to know why he's doing something. It's very hard to do something without knowing why. In this case, why Hashem wants it. So most of the mishpatim and the mitzvahs in the Torah are mishpatim, or edus, and we understand why. And every once in a while He wants to remind us who's boss, so He gives us a chok. And then the Sfarim, explaining the chukim. But every once in a while He wants us to have a mitzvah that the only reason that our minds cannot understand why Hashem would want us to do this. So again, there's like layers, you know, and Hashem wants me to understand why I'm doing it. But I'm doing it ultimately only because it's Hashem's will. V'lo me'avla l'shevach b'nei Adam, not because people will praise me or hold of me, and that includes getting a shidduch for my daughter or for my son. That's why I'm doing it. Lo mitikfa lohem, not because I need them. I need the job. I need them to hold of me. And this goes on in Shar Yichud HaMaisa. He says that the most common motivation of people is other people. What they'll say about him, what they'll think of him, therefore I'll get a promotion, therefore I'll get hired, therefore I'll get a chavrusa, therefore I'll get a friend, therefore I'll be accepted into the school, therefore my child will be accepted into the school. And now you can ask your question, because it's a very valid question, which is, doesn't Hashem want us?
Well, yeah, the question is, I understand in some cases, but in other cases, isn't it, you have to be careful not to make a fool of Hashem. Like, let's say you're the Rav, and people are looking up to you, so it is legitimate to...
It's only legitimate if I can convince myself, and if it's true, that that's what Hashem wants. In other words, it's maybe legitimate, you know, nobody's going to go to the school interview with a backwards baseball cap and sneakers, I hope. Well, it depends what school you want to get into. But that's, you know what you have to think? That Hashem wants me to be mechanech my child properly. To the best of my understanding, this school will do the chinuch that I want. And therefore, I have to do my utmost to get into this school because this is the chinuch I want, because Hashem wants me to mechanech my child. Not because my friends are sending to, and this is how kids get messed up. Because we all know that many times it's not the best chinuch for your child, but all my friends are sending there, and how will it look? And this, and then my daughter has to do a shidduch, and don't laugh, because this happens all the time. Right? I mean, you would laugh if I told you what people make cheshbonos sometimes. and that's all. But if you're thinking Chilul Hashem, and Hashem doesn't want Chilul Hashem, but you have to be careful, because it's easy to fall into a trap. I can justify everything I do for ulterior motives, that Hashem wants me to have those ulterior motives. Believe me, I can. I do it all the time. But Hashem wants me to be mechanech my child, and this is how I've chosen to do it, and therefore I have to do this. You shouldn't lie, then you have to lie. So you say, does Hashem want me to lie? Does Hashem want me to be able to get my child into the school and have to lie and be a phony? I have to lie, because maybe I have to sign something, which is a lie. Come ask the Rav how to deal with that, because sometimes the signing is unreasonable. Sometimes the I don't want to break the news to you. Schools are not lishma either. Schools don't do yichud hamaisa. Schools are all in competition with the other schools. Who's going to be the top school? Who's going to be the frumest school? Who's going to be the best school? They're also. This is the most difficult thing in the world. Is yichud hamaisa. V'lo miyira osam, not because you're afraid of people. Meaning afraid what they'll do to you. Afraid what they'll think of you. V'lo limshoch to'eles, not even to acquire a benefit for yourself. V'litchos nezek pa'olomo v'achriso. And this is k'mo shomer avasinu zechonim levracha. Al tiyu kavodim ha'mishamshin esarav al manas l'kabul pras. El avu kavodim ha'mishamshin esarav shalom al manas l'kabul pras. So we think of pras as olam haba, or kavod. That's what he's saying. He's saying everything's al manas l'kabul pras. Any ulterior motive. Again, you have to work on this. It's hard. It really is hard. And nobody's minimizing how hard it is. And we come across these things countless times a day. And this is what he's saying here. But it's so beautiful that he puts the two yichuds together. Because one is Hashem is everything. And where Hashem doesn't seem to be occupying, which is really also to say, but that's how we think of Bechira, that Hashem is not there and that he left up to me. You know, that's talking his larger will. That we be able to violate his will. That's the only reason if I steal, my hand works. It's so illogical that my hand should work if I'm stealing, because Hashem doesn't want me to do that. The empowerment of my hand to work is the Ratzon Hashem that I have Bechira. That's the Ratzon Hashem that my hand work when I want to steal. Hashem doesn't want me to do this action, but he wants me to have Bechira. So that empowers the working of the hand, which everybody here has learned Toma Dvora. Come on. That's what Toma Dvora, Erech HaPayim. That's one of the amazing things that Toma Dvora talks about, how amazing it is that we can do Averis, and our body works, and we can do Averis, and Hashem is empowering our body to do Averis. So that's the second half of the coin. And Mamish, it's beautiful. It completes the Yichud Hashem, because it's the Yichud Hashem that I control. Hashem doesn't control it, so to speak. I don't know how else to say it. Kvayachal, Hashem doesn't control it. So I have to make it, I have to do everything as Ratzon Hashem, and that completes the picture. Now everything in the world is Ratzon Hashem. Every blade of grass, every event, everything. And what we think of as not being Ratzon Hashem, Bechira, so I have to make that Ratzon Hashem. That's Yichud HaMaisa. But if I do it for ulterior motives, I'm not bringing Hashem in there. He uses very harsh words in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. He calls it Shituf. You know, Shituf is a word for Avodah Zarah. Shituf means I worship Hashem and someone else, and another God. So if you do things for ulterior motives, he uses that word in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. I'm worshiping Hashem and myself. I'm worshiping Hashem and my neighbor. Shituf, he calls it. Again, this is the ideal. We have to work on this. Uvachon ze achim. B'meshenogim b'nei odom b'avosami. This is something, a device that the Chavi Halalas uses countless times throughout the Sefer. He gives examples from human relationships, which is kind of weird when you think about it, and I always say, because he wants you to really get it. And the way we can get something, if it's, we see it in human relationships, so then we get it. So, and he says Hashem's the same way. It's a funny device, because Hashem is not human, and Hashem doesn't have human emotions or anything, but it's a device to get us to get it. That's what I feel. He does it many, many times throughout the Sefer. Here's an example. Look at people. Ki ha'oev shu margish me'ohavo, shein libo sholimimo. I mean, a spouse, or your best friend, and you realize that your best friend is only your best friend because you take good notes in class, and they want your notes. You feel betrayed. You feel violated. You feel terrified. It's such a bad feeling. All these years you were fooling me. You don't like me. You like my notes. Or, Chas v'Shalom, other relationships too could be that way. So he says, that's how Hashem feels. You don't like me. You like what it gives you socially. Koshkein ha'odom min ha'eved. We're not talking about Hashem yet. An odom, if an eved serves an odom faithfully, and then the odom finds out he's only doing it because he doesn't want to be sold to someone else, or because he likes the salary, he likes to live in this house. He will not be pleased with his service anymore. We're talking about now an odom and an eved. They are not a worker. This is talking about when you own the eved. In the olden days, they owned slaves. So they own them. That's another discussion why we don't have slavery anymore. But they own the slave. They are responsible for the slave's whole existence. The slave only existed because of them, and they gave the slave food, and they gave the slave's life meaning and purpose. Otherwise, you'd be in Africa eating other people. Afilum yestadol bovia sholim gomer benir ehu. I don't get angry. I need this person to be my friend. But I'll be so upset when I find out that he or she is not really my friend. They're just doing it to get something out of it. And I need them still. He's making a kal v'chomer, because Hashem doesn't need us. He wants us to do his will. Right? Me, you know, even though I need my friend, and I could swallow hard and accept it, but I won't. It'll just be too aggravating. I won't be able to look the person in the face anymore. When you find out that this whole thing was just insincere and they're just using you for their own purposes, it hurts. Oh, does it hurt? It hurts a lot when you find that out. That's what even though I need them, you know, and I'd be foolish to just throw them away and say, I'm not your friend anymore now that I found this out. And you still need them, but you just can't do it. That we need him. He doesn't need us. He has nothing out of our relationship with him. Hamashkif al libosom v'tzipun sodosom. He knows what our motivations are. Right? In the words of the song, there ain't no fooling you. So he knows our motivations. It's like your friend goes over to you and say, oh, can I come over to your house today? And I'm just, you know, we're such good friends, and Hashem sees, like, you know, in the comics, they have that dotted line, and you see the cloud, and you see the person's thinking, I can't wait to try out that new game your mother bought you. Right? So Hashem knows that. It's like Hashem hears you saying that. I'm going to stand Shmona Esrei, because Ech nitzelo min afsho seinu, how can we expect Hashem to be pleased with us? What we wouldn't be pleased with our friends if they did things for ulterior motives, and that's the context in which we have this friendly relationship, because they want something out of it. I wouldn't stand for it. I'm so hurt. Hashem is not hurt, of course, but This is the device the Chavis Halavus uses many times throughout the Sefer. In Sechlusam, the Matzvon Libosam, in Atarmis, the Ovum Vamiyat Shleimus Libenu Imoim, Shemestakal Amevim Bemenu Binyan Azeh, Yikolem, Hashem knows what you're thinking, so it's really a little embarrassing. It's like, imagine with your friend, if they knew what you were thinking, why you want to come to the house, why you want to be their friend. Hashem knows. Hashem is reading our minds, Hashem knows. Not just our minds. Hashem knows our motivations. Now, sometimes we don't know our motivations. That just makes us an onus. That's an onus. And everybody has to go to therapy. I'm not joking. In my older years, I'm becoming a huge believer, but only in a good therapist. And you're going to find out that a lot of things you do is so that your father won't be disappointed with you. And a lot of things you do is because you're jealous of someone else. You find out things because they're so you're anonymous. You know, you won't be punished for that, maybe, if you're not aware of your motivation, but that's there. And it's kedai to dig out, because you find out why you get angry. Why do you get angry? Why do you have an anger issue? Because, I don't know, it could be many reasons. In your past, usually it's either the father's fault or the rub's fault, one of the two. And if your father's the rub, then then you know you won group rates from the therapist. You should be ashamed, because Hashem knows what you're thinking. He knows what your motivations is. He knows why you're shuckling by Shmona Esrei. He knows why you're screwing your eyes shut and going like this when you're davening. So you sake matzpuno, so you work on it. You work on it. It's really, really hard. And it's, the Chazal says, listen, you work on it. The yachid libo lelokim biyichudo. Be aware of this imperative and work on it. I tell you, do one thing a week only because it's Hashem's will. It's fantastic. Give yourself a medal. Oh, no, don't, because then that's why you'll want to do it. Whoops. I just ruined it. Uva'asoso mitzvah mi mitzvosav. The Torah mitorosav, when it's learning, the asena behishtadlus, the charitzus, you know, with zrizus, kmo shomer David olav hashalom, derech mitzvosecha orutz, ki sarchiv libi. You'll expand my mind, Leva's mind, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, most of the time in Mishle, and Chavis Halvavus, he says, his duties of the mind. You'll expand my mind to be able to hold everything in my life because it's Hashem's will. Now again, it's the very Rishus also. That was a very important phrase. It's not just when I'm doing mitzvahs. It's when I'm going to the store. It's when I'm taking a walk. Everything. Ideally. But you know what the benefit is? The benefit is that you're in Eved Hashem 24/7, not just when you're doing mitzvahs. If you could somehow work up into Hashem wants me to do this, then everything in your life becomes a mitzvah. Everything in your life is you're doing Ratzon Hashem, and you get schar for it. You know, you try not to think about it, it's very hard. But you say, okay, Hashem wants me that schar, Mesil Sisharim. Yeah, I gotta go over that Mesil Sisharim again, so that I remember that Hashem wants me to have schar. But the point is, it's all encompassing. Just like the first type of yichud encompasses everything in the universe, all the universes, everything. This also encompasses all of our actions, everything. So that means I stop off. I have to put gears in the car. I take a vacation. I play with my kids. Okay, that's a no-brainer maybe, but you know, anything I do, I take a walk. Yeah. If you could say Hashem wants me to do this, then it's a mitzvah. Then you're doing the will of Hashem, which is the purpose of the whole universe. And you're not mitzumtzum to davening, or to giving stokka, or to doing chesed. You know, it's your whole life. Your whole life becomes yichud Hashem, mitzad your actions. Okay.